Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
Are you chewing gum? I remember once asking Danny when he was down at like the Final Four, and we're like, are you chewing gum? No, I'm not. It just sounds like that.
Nuff of me.
Like, chewing gum online.
Chewing gum online.
What? Danny Klingscale, little Danny Unleashed here from DannyKlingscale.com, is with us here in the program, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Joe Spiker and his great team, absolutely the best if you need a repair or a new roof. If you don't know, what the hell's going on? That was my mom's situation. Looked up at the roof. It didn't look good. Turns out it was just like she lives in Prairie Village. Big old trees dropping sap. Just kind of stained the roof. They said, listen, there's nothing structurally wrong with the roof, but if you want, we can clean it. That is something they can do if you just want your roof to look better. Anything that has to do with your roof, they can handle it. Easton Roofing, experts when it comes to the commercial roofing as well. A lot of companies aren't. There are a lot of different techniques with office buildings and big high rises. They work on the biggest buildings in Kansas City. Why wouldn't you go to EastonRoofing.com right now, whether it's your home or your business? Joe Spiker and his team are the best in Kansas City. Find them online at EastonRoofing.com. We're going to go to Jerome Tang, head coach of the K-State Wildcats, when he gets to the mic.
What's the name of this hour?
Tang Unleashed.
Yeah, that's a better idea. I don't know if he'll be unleashed. He'll be happy.
We'll hear a little bit of. Are you mocking Jerome Tang?
No. Who could mock Jerome?
Apparently, you're tired ass.
Danny,
you and Tom Izzo.
Danny, I went through this a couple of days ago. Just take the hit.
I don't understand all the hatred in this room between you and Curtis when it comes to Tang.
No. How could you possibly? There's nothing but joy about the man.
Unassailable.
Oh, I agree. He's fantastic.
Right? And he's really good.
And he can actually coach.
Yes. Right.
And recruit and build a team and develop players. And I mean,
you know what? The only thing he's done wrong?
I cannot wait to see him wearing Syracuse gear. I cannot wait for when we steal him away from K-State.
The only thing he's done wrong?
Do you want a napkin to put that in so you don't have to hold your gum?
I'll take that. Any piece of paper will do.
Here.
The only thing he's done wrong is do this in year one. What's he going to do now? I mean, really? I almost,
what the hell is the follow-up?
I almost recommend he lose to Florida Atlantic
so that
he's got some place to go. I mean, what if he make the Final Four, which it seems fairly likely they're going to do.
Only a point and a half favorite, but I like them against the Florida Atlantic.
I do, too. And the funny thing is they're in the exact same position they've been in the last, you know, this is the third time in a row that they've been sitting here at the Elite Eight, and they're supposed to win.
Did you hear my end of the hour question that I posed? Seven straight losses in the Elite Eight. It's the longest streak in history by two.
Ooh. I didn't.
Mizzou's at four because they've only made four.
They're actually at five, I found out, because
Mizzou is at five?
Before 1951, when they only had, because you search it by regional final,
right,
which is the Elite Eight now. Before 1951, there were only eight teams, and the regional final was actually the Final Four. But in 1944, they were in the eight field, the eight team field, and lost their first round. So they have missed five times in a chance to get to the Final Four.
By the way, Basketball Reference says some guy in like 1951 had 20 assists. They don't have him on their.
No. They said last night that the official total of assists since they started, since they became official,
because they became a stat. But they've gone back and they're giving some guy 20 assists, and I'm like,
no,
I'm all for giving Deacon Jones his sacks.
Right.
Because I think that's pretty easy. There's film of the game. Watch it. Did he get a sack or not? You can do that. But an assist? I guess if there's still a game.
And also, usually the person keeping score was the SID or something like that, and there was a vested interest in making the player look better. So, if it was in the Final Four or something like that, you know, okay, that's legit.
Like you mean like the baseball scoring's totally legit? So, like when I would go to a guy and be like, how did you rule that a hit? And the guy would look at me and go, how else is Mike Sweeney going to win a batting title? That was totally legit. That actually happened. That's a fact.
Well, the best
of what happened
best
in the Royals press box.
The best one,
one
of all was the Sun Ball.
Oh God, yes. Hit
Sun Ball.
Sun Ball.
Sun Ball. Then we said, "What?
Oh, Jesus.
What?" And we all started looking, and we're like, "There's no, there's nothing in the rules about a
Sun Ball."
Sun Ball.
No, he lost to this.
It's 9:30 at night. Did
no. What is this?
Sun Ball. That we didn't make this up, folks. That actually happened.
That happened. Both those things happened. Yeah. I had a guy tell me, who was the official scorekeeper. I'm like, how can you rule that hit? And he said to me, straight face, how else is Mike Sweeney going to win a batting title if I don't give him a hit there? I'm like,
I have to leave now or I will punch you.
I am going to choke you with the 5-day-old popcorn there trying to feed us.
If I don't choke myself with it.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to choke you by making you eat it.
Yeah. But anyway, I digress. But yes, it is a good point. What the hell is the follow-up going to be?
Sustained excellence, I guess. That's
it. I mean, would Jerome Tang not take the career of Steve Fisher? He took over going into the tournament, won a championship, made two other Final Fours, two other championship games, and then many years of making good money at San Diego State.
Right.
If that's Jerome Tang's fate.
Yeah, that's fine for a guy,
Cat fans take
guy
it?
Who started his assistant coaching career at Baylor without even having had a college degree yet. And eventually got it with a mail order, you know. I mean, amazing story. Amazing story.
Because
he's
going to
make an amazing
30
for 30.
What I did for my college degree probably took less.
Well, I'm not going to. I'll give you more credit than that.
It was not hard. A broadcast journalism degree is literally like ice cream cone central.
A dime a dozen.
Like it is not difficult.
Really?
It's
Syracuse. Like when I went to KU, we couldn't even be in the journalism school until your junior year.
So no, you got to get into Syracuse because it's because of the reputation. I've said this. I love my university and I give them money and all that. And if one of my kids wants to go there, they damn well better let them in. I think what Syracuse has going for it in the broadcasting school is that kids that have decided this is what they want to do and are serious about it and are willing to work, go there. Like, the reputation feeds itself.
And it's super competitive to even get on the radio there.
There was no golden words of wisdom that were dropped on me when I was there that I'm like, oh, my God, that was it.
No, most of the experiences you get or the things that you do in college or for radio are doing it.
Yeah, the student radio, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Practical
application. Doing the games and all that stuff.
You can get that anywhere. Listen, if you've got a kid who's thinking about going to Syracuse, I encourage him to go just for the life experience. Like, for you, it was a life experience to come to Kansas.
Right.
Right? You're from Boston. Like, if you got a kid that's like, or if you, the means aren't there to travel, I always think getting away is kind of a good thing for a lot of kids.
I agree with that, totally.
And so that was a big part of it for me, was to the independence part of it. But, anyway, I don't know why we're talking about broadcasting school.
Well, because we know that once we start...
Jerome Tang, because
once we start, if we start to dive into something significant, boom,
it's a rabbit hole.
It'll be Jerome Tang.
Tang is 12 years older than Steve Fisher was in 89, if that factors into what you think.
Steve Fisher was 39?
He was 40.
I thought Tang's 51.
56.
He's 56?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Let me check that again.
Maybe I'm confusing.
Right. No, I think
it's this time of year. I'm always looking up ages of coaches.
Yeah, 56.
He's 56. So he's 44, huh?
He's 3 months younger than me.
Jesus, he's 5 years older
Fisher
than me.
Fisher was 44 when he
looks
took over.
15 years younger.
He does.
Disaster.
He does look. He looks younger than
that. Oh, guys.
It's just vibrant.
And he looks cool.
Yeah,
he's not just. He's not like,
he looks
there are
cool.
People,
he sounds cool.
He sounds cool. He's got
he sounds happy. I don't know if he's,
no, he sounds
yeah,
cool.
But he kind of has a
he has that and
a little
he even
jazz
has a
singer
of,
voice. Man, there's a little.
He even has, but he also has a hint of a lisp. that works.
You mean like Mahomesian a little?
There's a little Mahomesian, the high pitch, a little gravel, high pitch.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because he's winning that it's making everything, you know, you're a character. Let's hear him. Here he is. Here's, you judge for yourself. Here's Jerome Tang.
Jerome, as an assistant at Baylor, you've been on both sides of the Elite Eight. The joy of winning it to get to the Final Four and feeling that pain of losing. How do you describe what an Elite Eight game is like?
You know, I've always heard that it's probably the hardest game to win. You know, I mean, both teams know that they're right there. And I've experienced both. You know, we're going to, like the guy said, we have the same old boring habits, and we're going to work on going 1-0. And, you know, I'm just grateful to be here, because you think of how many coaches never get a chance to play in an Elite Eight, and you just said I have been in three of them already. And so I'm so blessed.
But just a quick follow-up, what was that swing like of the win versus
Look, come on, man. When you lose, the season's over, right? Like, there's like no, there's no way to describe it. It's such an abrupt end, right? And you got guys that you're never gonna be with again. And it's not a great feeling. And when you win, I mean, it's exhilaration, and it's something that you work so hard for. It took us, I think, like 18 years to do it, and to, that was just one of the best feelings that I got from a basketball experience in my life.
We'll stay here in the front row on the aisle with Bonnie.
Jerome, I believe it was a year ago today that you were announced as the new coach. I'm not certain of that, but I believe it was. And I'm curious, after so many years at Baylor, did you know the persona you would have when you finally became a head coach, or did you get on the job and start saying, this is who I'll be, how I'll be? How did you feel that out?
I'm just being me. This is who I am. I've always been like this. I'm not doing anything different than I hadn't done for the last 19 years. I just did it behind the scenes. And now, you know, for some reason, social media, I guess it might be Dream Dowlin, is got me out there. But, yeah, I've been the same guy all this time, and I'm, you know, I was never going to change.
We'll stay on the aisle a couple rows behind, same side.
Rustin Dodd from The Athletic. Jerome, can you take me back to when Keyonte committed to you guys? I know it was later in the process in the summertime. Do you remember just kind of where you were and how the staff kind of reacted to that news?
Yo, I can take you back to when he didn't commit, like, because we were getting ready to go on vacation as a staff together, and he had told us that he would tell us on like August 11th, and but he didn't clear it with his mom first, so Miss Nika was a little upset, so she wouldn't let him do it on the 11th. So we're on vacation and we're waiting for him to call and let us know, and he doesn't let us know. So like, you really can't celebrate, you know, you can't, like, is something gonna go wrong? Then he visits Nebraska after we get back, and then after he goes to Nebraska, he comes back and it's like school's about to start the next day, and he says, all right, I'm coming. So it we felt like we was going to get him, but then once he does it, you don't really have time to celebrate. You got to get him in school and get him there. And so it wasn't the big party that we had wanted it to be, but very thankful that it did happen.
We'll come up here in row two on this side over here. Yep.
Scott Fritsch and K-State Athletics. Keyonte has had some great dunks this year. How would you rate the one last night? And secondly, just what has he meant to your team from a playmaking standpoint this year?
How do I rate the dunks? Well, top three. I'm not going to tell you what order. What has he meant to the team? Man, just like, it's real. I think it's very evident to see what he does on the floor, but I'm just telling y'all what he does off the floor in the locker room, and how he's just one of the guys and treats everybody the same, and all his teammates love him. It's just, you can't like quantify it, how it impacts the chemistry of the team. And, you know, guys just root for each other because they see this guy who's, he's clearly gifted, right? But he just acts like one of the guys, and I appreciate that.
We'll go one row back on the end, and then we're going to go same row on the aisle.
Zach was the New York Post. Joe, what was it like when you take the job? Like, how did it go with, you know, deciding you wanted to keep Marquise and or trying to convince him to stay? You know, he obviously not a lot of high majors believed in him. I was told Kansas State was the only high major to offer him at, when he transferred out of Arkansas Little Rock. You just, like, how did that kind of whole process go?
Well, I got the chance to watch him play for a whole year and help scout and, you know, develop a defensive plan for him. And watching film while I was at Baylor, I told our staff, I told him he's a Baylor guard. Like, he could play for us at Baylor. And then I also thought pound for pound he was the toughest kid in the conference. So when I was interviewing for the job and he was one of the people that I was like, man, I got to make sure I keep him. And then after I got the job, our first team meeting, he had incredible eye contact when I spoke to the team, and he was nodding very positively, and I just felt like there was a connection there. You know, found out a few weeks later that he had actually texted our athletic director, Gene Taylor, my name as somebody he should look at, and that he had told Gene he was planning to stay and help the program win. And so, you know, I mean, knowing that, just that kind of buy-in and that kind of belief, you know, it was just incredible. So it really wasn't anything that I did. This is this kid and this young man, and he's just incredible.
I was told that his older brother actually did a lot of research on you.
Yeah, Marcus does a lot of research, and I mean, I never even thought anybody paid attention to what I did. Right. Like, I mean, Scott is a rock star, and it's amazing that how people pay attention to everything you do. And that's a lesson for our guys to learn, that everything they do, somebody's paying attention to it, and it could impact your future.
Stay on the same row on the aisle. Yeah, it's right behind you.
I'm sorry. Timmy from St. Manhattan Mercury. Like Vahe said, it has been exactly a year since that introductory press conference. And it's a great day to be a Wildcat, and it's not going to take long. Have you processed that? Have you processed what all has happened in the span of 365 days?
I don't know, like, you can fully process all of that. But, you know, I always say that this wonderful book that I read, it says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. And we have the ability to speak life to people or to speak death to people. And everyone talks about positive thinking and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's right there in the scripture. And I can't tell you that I thought about what I was saying at that time, but I do believe that it was the Spirit of God speaking through me. And therefore, it inspired me to live to those words that were spoken.
We'll go to the back on the aisle, and then we'll go over to you next.
Adam Kilgore with the Washington Post, and I've got two, if that's okay?
Yep.
Okay. You've been coaching now 30 years in only three places, and most of the time, obviously, at two places. It's a very itinerant profession. It's very rare. Is that something that you wanted to, you know, shape your career like? Did it just kind of happen? Like, is it something that you appreciate and like? Like, you know, why did it go that way for you, and are you happy with it?
Well, I'm super thankful for the way things have gone. I can't tell you in the midst of going through it that I was, because I couldn't see the big picture. I could have stayed at Heritage Christian and been the youth pastor at the church for the rest of my life. It was the best job in America, and I always feel like wherever I'm at, it's like the best place in the world. And I got to the point where I was at Baylor that I told God that if he wanted me to be an assistant for the rest of my life, I was okay with that, because my identity was not going to be caught up in a title. And if he wanted me to quit coaching and go into ministry and do something different, I was willing to do that too. I just wanted to do what he wanted me to do in my life. And I felt when I got to that point in my life that I wasn't pursuing a title there, God allowed me to experience some great things. I always talk about the fruits of our labor. It's very rare you get to be somewhere and start something and then watch it come to completion or reach its pinnacle. And I got to see that at Baylor. We start from the bottom, and we built that thing and win a national championship. And so it's just – it was great that I got to experience the fruits of our labor, both Scott and I together. And so I think I'm a pretty loyal guy. And when I'm all in, I'm all in. And so that's just kind of how I live my life.
Yeah, and the phrase
there it is. Jerome Tang, head coach of the K-State Wildcats,
one year to the day from his opening press conference.
That's right.
He's heading into the Elite Eight.
Heading into the Elite Eight, a day
pretty
away from
cool.
potentially going to the
That's
Final Four.
Unbelievable.
Very cool. Jerome Tang, there doing the press conference, getting ready to take on Florida Atlantic for the right to play in the Final Four. We will take a break. Almost as cool. Not really. Not anywhere near as cool. But Danny Klingskill is here.
Way,
Danny Unleashed.
Way cooler.
Very cool is Easton Roofing. They're the proud sponsors of Danny Unleashed. Joe Spiker and his great team. You can find them online at EastonRoofing.com. Any issues with your roof? What are you waiting on? Let the experts get up on that ladder. I want to tell you right now, my fat ass ain't getting on no ladder. And I thought I had a problem. I called Easton Roofing. They're happy to get up there. Showed me
my skinny ass. I didn't get the ladder either.
No. Not happening. Let the experts do it. Joe Spiker and his team are absolutely the best. Find them online right now at EastonRoofing.com.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Kansas State has lost seven straight in the Elite Eight. Longest streak in tournament history. Six schools have lost five in a row at some point. I asked for any. Mizzou, yes.
Mizzou.
Time to Mizzou.
Five in a row.
By the way, it's Mizzou because most people think, well, four. They've been to four Elite Eights, but they actually were in the Elite Eight in 1944 because they...
I know. I
just
want
to explain
that,
to people
when there's eight teams in the...
Yeah, to me, that's not... I don't count that as getting to the Elite Eight because you were already there, but I think it does count as a fifth opportunity blown to go to a Final Four.
Whatever makes you...
I think it's fair to make that criticism.
Whatever makes you feel better, you know?
It's not about feeling better. I'm not giving them credit for an Elite Eight, and I'm blaming them for not getting to a Final Four. That's a double whammy on the bad side.
So was it just
Mizzou
name
was
any one of them?
Yeah, Mizzou was one. Danny, just a few
Gonzaga.
More.
Gonzaga?
Nope.
No, they were just in the championship game.
No, not active. Just at any point
time.
Losing sevens. Losing.
North Carolina went so often. Maybe North Carolina.
Mm-mm.
Kansas.
Nope.
Duke.
Nope.
Then we're out.
Oklahoma State, Temple, Arizona, Oregon State, Wake Forest, and Missouri.
Oregon State. That's got to be some
I think
old
Curtis came up with this question
because
he likes the association that Missouri has with these other...
I didn't.
powerhouses.
I looked. There are 17 schools that have been to the Elite Eight 10 times, and K-State has, by far, the worst win percentage. They are 3-10. The best is UCLA at 19-3.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty
19
good.
19-3 in the Elite Eight.
Although they were in the West.
Yeah.
Don't even get started.
We're all on the same boat there.
They're in the West, and they just...
And they cheated. They invented cheating.
But also, I mean, it was total...
I love how, like, a guy dies, and you can't call out what he did.
Also, it was totally geographic, and there was just... Like, San Francisco was kind of good early, and who USC was pretty good sometimes.
But not in 67.
Occasionally, an Arizona school would pop up, but not much out there.
Kansas, by the way, 16-8. That is good for seventh best win.
Kansas has 16 Final Fours?
Yep.
Wow.
Pretty good.
How many Helms
Kentucky,
Final Fours do they have?
Kentucky, yes.
Nice. How many Helms do they got? Another 22 of those we can throw onto the video?
I think if they, when you only had a couple, you know, you maybe you wanted to toss in the Helms. If you've got 16, you probably don't feel the urge to.
K Kentucky is 16 and 21 in the Elite Eight. They've been to 37.
But a lot of those were when you were...
Kentucky's
I mean,
been to 37 Final Fours?
37 Elite Eights.
Oh, Elite Eights.
They're
oh.
16 and 21.
I mean, even up to, like...
God, they're 16 and 21 in the Elite Eight.
When Kansas went to the... When Kansas
so Kentucky
the,
and Kansas... Sorry, Danny, to keep stepping on you, but it's same amount of Final Fours for Kentucky and Kansas?
Yep.
Kentucky has eight titles? Or seven?
Yes, eight.
Eight, and Kansas has four? Wow, okay.
Well, I was just going to say, a lot of those for Kentucky... Like, even up to 1973, when Kansas went to the Final Four, their first game in the tournament was the Sweet 16 round.
Right.
Because they got a bye. So, if you were a big conference champion, so you know, you're going to get to the Elite Eight pretty quick.
It is very new. That's why so often the stats that Curtis will throw out there are like since 85. Yeah, 85 right. is when we got to 64.
Right.
If it's about getting to any particular round, I always have to make it 85.
By the way, Good Sense, what we were playing for, you can get you some Good Sense tonight, goodsensesubs.com. Curtis, go ahead, rattle the bag, let him know. It's too much sandwich for Curtis to handle in one sitting.
I actually had some
what
time,
happened?
Amazingly, I got things done, enough time to go over and get some Good Sense, so I got a half oven roast chicken, double meat on wheat. And then I got a cup of one of the soups they have. Okay. They always have the broccoli cheddar, which is like Hotel Fantastic. California to the Eagles. You know, it's everyone's assumed greatness. I also have, it was called a red pepper Gouda bisque. Fantastic. It's like,
really?
I'm going to try that. Yeah. Great flavor. Good texture. Oh, super.
Get you some Good Sense tonight. Order it at goodsensesubs.com. Whether you're having everybody over to watch the games, get a party tray. That way the party trays are great. Everything you need. All the condiments, plates, napkins, everything, the freshest veggies to put on them. You get to build your own. So it's like actually my favorite thing is to get a party tray. I actually think I might start getting party trays just for me because everything is so fresh. It keeps so well. I put it in Ziploc bags. But even the tray has like the snap-down four corners where you can lock it in. Keeps it really fresh. It's great. Get it right now at goodsensesubs.com. Danny's with us, brought to you by Easton Roofing, a little Danny Unleashed. So the cats.
Very little. Probably, so, people just joy holding a parade.
They're loving
how,
it.
How far do the cats go?
I think they're going to win, but like you said.
They're going to win the championship. There it is. Danny Klingscale says K-State wins it all.
Not at all.
No, I don't think they
how
win.
How far do they go?
Okay, what side of the bracket are they?
They are on the Alabama bracket, Alabama side of the bracket.
I don't see them getting past Alabama.
Okay.
But anything is possible.
Danny hates the cats.
Anything's possible when you've got 11. A guy who's cooking like that guy. There's a difference, but, I mean, we saw him play all year. He was really good. But this is next level. I mean, he's just got the ball on a string and... He's feeling, you know,
super confident. Yeah,
it's the best little man. I you're going to love that I'm going this direction, or not?
At least you didn't call him a little kid.
It's the best little man NCAA tournament performance in 50 years
since Ernie D. Gregorio.
That's exactly right. he's 50 years ago.
Danny has a checklist, and every morning, at some point, say Ernie D. Gregorio to someone.
He went for 30-plus.
Yeah, he was crazy.
And 8 or more assists in the opening round, regional final, national semifinal, with every bit the flash and dash that... But I don't know, in a game that was like that, I've ever seen anything like that. That was unbelievable.
He was pretty impressive.
And... The other team was an unwilling participant in, them just having fun. I mean, Tom Izzo, I don't have any problem with Tom Izzo. It was
I do.
It was right after the game.
I think he is a jackass that's gotten away with reprehensible behavior for years.
Well, I'm not – whether he has or not, I don't think the comments there, when you watch the entirety of what he said, I didn't think there was anything. He was just a disappointed coach who watched a couple of crazy shots go in, and he lost a close game, and it was 5 minutes after the game.
Yeah, the lucky line was with the CBS reporter, which would have been before they sat down. So if you're if you want to use immediacy from the end of the game, it was closer than it would have been. Calipari's right. statements were during the sit-down, so he had a little more time to reflect. But I'm not saying that there's that excuse.
Why does everybody make excuses
I'm,
for this
I'm
guy?
Not, I'm not saying
I don't
excuses.
Get it. He is like, listen, he's several exits short of, but he's on the local off-ramp. Right, for people in this town, if you know 435 on the south side where you get off at Row and Knoll, mm-hmm. you get off, that's what I'm kind of getting at. In big cities, there'll be like five exits on that thing. He pushes guys. He physically shoves guys. And I have a problem with that. There is no place for that in modern society. None. And he did it again just 2 games ago where he threw a forearm in a guy's chest coming over to the timeout. I think his behavior is reprehensible, and it's just because he's been around for a long time, he wins, and he's white. That's the only reason he gets away with it.
That's pretty strong. I guess because I have been around Tom Izzo a lot, and he does seem like, and I've talked to a lot of his players at the Final Four through the years, and but hey, Bob Knight's players used to say a lot of nice things about him too. Now, yeah. I don't think he's Bob Knight, but I agree with you that in this day and age, putting your hands on players is unacceptable. I agree with that.
And everybody was fine with Bob Knight doing that crap till one player finally said, "That's unacceptable." And they bombed that player. And it wasn't until Bob Knight quit winning while doing the same things that they ripped the player for, suddenly became reprehensible when he wasn't winning anymore. And that's how this society looks at people. What he's doing is wrong. In all likelihood, based on how coaches go, and I've certainly just watched a coach, Jim Boeheim was a cantankerous ass, as you know.
Yes.
For years, but he was winning. And not until the last couple of years, till the winning ran out, that people were like, you know, they worried about the fact that he was calling a guy 5 feet nothing and all those. It started to become a thing because he wasn't winning anymore. We excuse all kinds of behavior that's at the very least questionable as long as they're winning.
Well, just look at this current hiring cycle, and that's all you've got to know about college basketball.
Beard and Patino.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So
to further a point that you just made about he's an old white guy, sir, and if one of his players not hits him hard but shoves him back, and it happens to be an African-American player, people would flip their lid about that, even if he was in the right, even if he was just shoving back a man who just shoved him.
Yeah, it happened a couple of years ago where they were walking off the court at halftime, and he went and grabbed a kid and yanked him around, and they, like, pushed him, and the kid started back at him, and I come on the air and talk about it, and there was as much grief about the kid as there was Tom Izzo, the freaking 60-year-old guy who's supposed to be able to control his emotions.
Right. I agree with your general point.
Let's take a break then.
Yeah, because we'd like to do something else besides rip on Tom Izzo. For,
let's take a
break.
We'll do it next.
We'll do more.
More. Danny and Luke.
More with Tom Izzo.
Brought to you by Easton Roofing. You can find them online at Easton Roofing.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Roofing.com. Got any thoughts on Kansas and Missouri's exit, Danny? We're talking to Danny Klinskill, little Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing, EastonRoofing.com.
You know, Kansas was a team that was living on the margin all year, and they had remarkably never had foul trouble all year for playing almost no bench. And it finally happened, and I don't think Kansas fans should grouse about it because I think the tournament has been...
Arkansas was in foul trouble as well.
Right, and they, you know, the games have still been pretty physical. I don't think these have been whistle fests. Now, Kansas benefited during the course of the season that this year the Big 12 decided that they would decide to be all-star wrestling. And that was, they were going to go WWE this year, and you could do anything you wanted. I mean,
I thought the tights were a bit extreme.
A foray to the basket.
Yeah. Self-mask was pretty colorful.
Yeah. Yeah. No blood, no foul. I mean, it was pretty
foreign nice. Objects, you know.
Right, so.
On the court.
So they probably Wait, got
wasn't
used
there
to
already a chair
bit.
Involved in a KUK State game a few years ago?
Hello. He was just ahead of his time.
Ooh. So you know, it was a great game. Arkansas played well. I'm sure Kansas fans don't feel good that, well, they probably...
Arkansas got crushed.
Well, maybe they do feel good because they were all...
Yeah, I heard
up in arms about Eric Musselman. You know one thing you can't do? When you lose, you really kind of have to shut up for a little while, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and
I heard a bunch of Kansas fans. They've been filling the lines quite a bit. Oh, I'm sure on Twitter reaction, but right. they weren't filling the lines, pissing and moaning here all week.
Right, so... that team was it wasn't a shock to me that they, you know.
No, I think they grossly overachieved to get to where they were. No,
I agree, and I think Bill Self has done that on several occasions, that their seed has been higher than the.
And I think Arkansas underachieved to get to where they were.
Agreed.
Fifth team in the 85 tournament to be a defending champion, be a one seed when returning only two starters. Fifth time ever. So they just getting to that point was amazing. And I had a lot of Kansas fans on Twitter last night who talked to me regularly like, yeah, we weren't beating UConn. Not the way they were playing. They're like, they would have killed us.
However, it is the fifth time. I don't know if you've used this one, Curtis. It is the fifth time that a number one seeded Kansas team has lost to a team seeded eighth or lower. And the second highest is three. So
well, you got to get there a lot.
Yeah.
But I also said that if ever there was a fan base, it was ready to handle a number one seed losing in the second round. It was Kansas that day. No Bill Self. And then at the exact same time.
And also your national championship rear view mirror.
Defending champion, no head coach. And the fan base most likely to give you grief was getting pummeled by 15 by a 15 at the exact same time.
I'll also point out that's a pretty
soft landing for a number one team going out in the second round.
And I think good basketball fans of Kansas, not that you can't be a good Kansas fan, but the ones that, you know, you can be a great fan and not really know what's going on, just be excited to watch what's happening out there. But the basketball fans knew that this team just isn't as good as other additions. It's a tremendous accomplishment that they achieved all that they did. It's why you don't base your whole fandom and your whole sense of success on the NCAA tournament because they had a fantastic season.
The 2010
and winning the league outright with that team,
right?
Amazing.
And where they were. I mean, no way did I think they
nobody
were
on their
with a few games to go. It didn't look like there was any way they were going to do it.
Mm-mm.
I still thought Texas was going to do it with four or five games left.
They play five guys and barefoot. I don't think anybody's over 6'6".
Yeah,
I like to think of myself as somewhat knowledgeable about the game of basketball as a Kansas fan. People can dispute that if they want.
Reach.
They're fine. Yeah. However, I got. And maybe rightfully so. Maybe I just had lower expectations. But back in November, I got crap from Curtis and Seren because I didn't think the loss to Tennessee in the Bahamas was particularly bad.
You're still wrong.
And that's fine. And that's because I had this team coming into the year sitting somewhere on the 4-6 line. I didn't think – I thought they'd be
fine. But you're still Kansas, and you were still carrying – were you number one in the country, right? When you lost that game?
At that time, no. They're 10th, I think.
Oh, well, they haven't
been
that far down.
They maybe jumped that high.
Just because they had beaten.
No, they had jumped that. You're right. They're second or third.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
But the point is, the expectations weren't, I don't think, should have been huge.
This wasn't 2010 losing to Northern Iowa as the number one team in the country.
Listen, in some ways, I guess, if you're listening, you're like, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. The team was not that good from a pure talent standpoint. Bill Self did maybe his greatest coaching job ever in getting what he got out of the regular season. But there are expectations that come with being Kansas.
Yeah, so
it's not an easy job to have.
It's never really acceptable totally
right.
to be a number one seed and lose before that, the yes. Sweet 16 and yes. lose in the first
we're,
yeah.
You were talking
weekend.
In relation to other Kansas right. losses as a one seed. There's yeah. nothing wrong with this one.
It's easily the softest landing I've heard.
And also,
seen
it was a fabulous
them.
Game that was decided well, yeah. by a point.
And this is, we'll transition it to Missouri, but like, and even now with K-State, if K-State loses to Florida Atlantic and Jerome Tang goes out in the first round in a 4-13 game or 4-13 game next year. And then he goes out in the first round in a 7-10 game, and he's the 7. 3 years in a row, we've lost to a lower seed, will be what you hear from K-State fans. Right. And Missouri fans, it's okay to lose to Princeton right now.
Because that's what we said about Bill Self after 3 years.
Until you turn around and lose to a 14 in the first round as a 3 next year, and then maybe you win an 8-9 game, and then you're out to a 1, and then you lose as a 6 to a 10, and it's going to be, this jackass can't even beat double-digit seeds. Right, that's just the nature of what happens.
Right. And I mean, it's disappointing for Missouri, not from the standpoint of they won one game and then they lost. It's just that they got pantsed. I mean, from start to finish.
Yep. By a Princeton team that I think is going to get pantsed tonight. I don't even remember. Who do they play?
Creighton.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's
McDermott's got a lot.
That's a bad matchup.
McDermott's got a lot on that riding on this game.
Also,
yeah. that.
Creighton. For sure. Looks pretty salty.
I think so too.
I think they've recovered. For, you know, they missed that their big guy missed 19 games. I think so.
They're not scoring. But
Princeton
1,000 points
pretty,
at the rim. This
Princeton looks pretty legit to me. I'll say that in defense of Missouri.
I do think that they were underseeded.
They didn't hit any threes in their first game and won.
Yeah.
So, but to lose like that and to sort of just get X and O'd to death. On backdoor cuts and all that stuff. I mean, it was bad, but my expectation was you win a game in this tournament and it's a success.
Yes,
so
I agree.
I'm not going to back off on that. Now, it would have been nicer if they lost by 8 or something.
But. Well, and it makes it worse. If they'd have turned around and lost to the 2,
right.
Nobody would have, the way they lost
even
to Princeton,
by 15.
No one would have minded. The 15 is what makes it theoretically unacceptable or frustrating at least.
Right, because Arizona, just prior to them, had become only the first team to lose twice to a 15 seed as a 2. And then Missouri said, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Now two schools have lost twice to a 15.
We want a part of that. But give me some of that.
But I wasn't surprised with the problems
that
hurt Missouri. They don't rebound, and they don't guard the perimeter, and they were destroyed in both occasions.
How are their games going to go? They're going to go like this. Well, if they were going to play 7 games, how many of them would they win? They'd win 3 or 4. And so it's just a matter of, do you get the 3 good ones or the 4 good ones? And you're like, well, my God, we're in the final 4. Right. Like, the where you finish in the bracket is not the end-all, be-all defining definition of what you are as a team. Right? They're not a team that's like sub-Ivy League.
Right.
Right? Just like, Loyola of Chicago going, see Porter Moser at OU right now. It's not a statement that is clearly one of the 4 best teams in college basketball.
Right. Absolutely. Well, that was fun. My hour included Jerome Tang. What can get better?
What
than that? I slid in some Ernie D. I made my day.
Check all the boxes.
We got
baby.
Optimism in your hour, and that usually doesn't happen.
Hold my beer. I'll be holding one soon enough.
I got to work on my Jerome Tang impression.
Follow you right there, Danny. I could get right
We're
there.
We're glad to be in New York City for another round.
We're glad.
Good.
That was pretty good.
We're glad. That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
There.
I love these guys.
All right, Drew Timmy now has 10 20-point games in the NCAA tournament, breaking a tie with 6 other players. Name anyone. Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.